morning. Are we on? Huh? No? Yes. All right, we're on. Wasn't me this time. All right. It's all your fault back there. No. Okay. All right. Well, y'all had a good week?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day today, isn't it? Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Well, thank you. I went to the softball game this week. Daryl Smith is the coach of. He's put a softball team together, and I'll tell you what, they're doing pretty good out there. Who did we play? We played Sydney first, right? Last week and the week before. Yeah, we played them, didn't we? Do what? Oh, yeah, we did. We won. You asked the right question. But, you know, it's fun to go out there and watch that. You know, just, you know, it's enjoyable. I'm just kind of encouraging y'all, you know, if you get a minute, go watch the softball team. Hey, they got soft drinks and stuff to eat there. It's fun. It's a nice evening out. That's a great place over there, nice park area. I enjoyed it. I'm gonna try it out here soon. You know, they wanted me to play, but I haven't swung a bat in over 25 years. So I thought, you know, I don't want to go kind of make myself look like a, you know, knucklehead out there. So I'm gonna swing a bat a few times before I go. But I'll probably still look like a knucklehead, but it won't be as bad, right? Okay, what have we been talking about? Honoring authority, haven't we? Everybody say authority. Authority is something we really need to connect with and get comfortable with, because authority is something that people, you know, people resist it. You know, when they hear this word authority and submission and you know, coming under, they tend to want to resist it. But in the kingdom of God, it's all about authority. It's all about authority. And so this idea of authority in the kingdom of God is major. And growing in our understanding and increasing in that understanding of that is so important. So we've been talking about, last week we talked about tithing, didn't we? And I shared with you that if you have a problem hearing that, maybe, you know, you've been wounded somewhere, or here's what the problem is. If the enemy can get you to not honor that part of your life, then he will keep you from prospering in that area. Right? Because of mismanagement in the past, ministers and different things, maybe some, not all, but you see this, the media and the world system and the devil, they get together and they work to get you to get a jaded view of, you know, this principle that, what are they doing with the money? What, you know, all this. You see, that right there, who's that hurting? The one who's it's hurting you, isn't it? So the idea, if you can get a clear vision of that and not let a few distort and cloud your vision of it, then you're going to continue to prosper and benefit in the kingdom of God. Because why? Money's one of the number one problems in the church. The calls that we get in this church, the most calls we get are about money, financial help. Divorce is higher in the church than it is in the world system. The number one problem for divorce, you know what it is? Money. How we're handling our money. So we're going to have to grow in this area of understanding and increase in this understanding of tithing. Because God has established that for your well-being and your health and wholeness. And He will protect you in that if you obey that principle. He even says, try me in this. Try me. He says, test me. And nowhere else in the Bible does He say that. So that's why we gotta get a hold of this. And so God is moving. Things are changing, aren't they? Fast. Gas price, all you hear about is gas prices. Don't complain about gas prices, right? Or fuel prices. Right? Yeah, you know my little. I could tell a few of you didn't like that last week, but that's all right. We'll get rid of that. But the idea is, you know, I heard a minister, and he was talking about in Africa, the gas prices were $14 and something a gallon. And John and Peggy, or Bob and Peggy, just got back from Germany, and it was like $11 and something a gallon. Folks, we don't really know how blessed we are. So don't complain about gas prices. Because who's that affect? You. That's going to hurt you and keep you from profit. God's going to make sure your tank's full if you continue to honor him in this area of finances. Amen? Okay. So what's the word honor mean? Do what? To have a high esteem, a favorable regard, to respect, to value. So where does that come from? It comes from your heart. Not from because you're treating me right and you're doing everything right to me, am I going to honor you. It's because it's coming from my heart. And where does the honor come from? Your relationship with God, right? Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowing God. That's what that word knowledge means, knowing God. So the fear of the Lord, and that word fear means honor and respect, of the Lord is the beginning of knowing him. And he wants you to know him in all areas of your life, your finances, your relationships, your work ethics, all those areas. He wants you to know him. And he will establish his kingdom in you. Where's the kingdom of God? It's in you, right? Jesus said, don't look for it over there or out there or behind there. He says the kingdom of God is within you. It's in you. So that's what he wants to do. He wants to establish his kingdom in you. And that's what this, the kingdom of God is a whole nother economy. So we're not dependent on the government system. We're dependent on the kingdom of God. And when we will operate in his principles, he's going to make sure you're taken care of. And God has established this. It says in Deuteronomy 14:28, for the widows, the orphans, and the strangers. And also the ministers, those who minister to you the word of God. To take care of them. That's what it's established for. And so that's what we got to grow in our understanding of. Right? And so, folks, listen. And then he says, what did he say? He says, you rob God, what? When you withhold the tithe. He doesn't say you rob the church. He says you rob God, right? Is that right? What's rob mean? In the Hebrew, it's the word kima, and it means to obscure, to cheat, or to defraud. It means to inflict bodily harm and physical injury. That's what happens. We actually bring harm to the body of Christ when we withhold our tithe. And this is where God says, try me. He says, try this out, and I'll show you it works. Now, you know, you got some people say, well, I did it last week, and, you know, things didn't go well this week. You know, you got to give it a little bit of time, right? You got to put some seed in the ground. The farmer doesn't go out and plant a seed and go out and look for the harvest the next day, does he? Right? He has to let the water and the rain and the sun, and then he begins to enjoy the harvest of it. That's the same way it is. That's the same way it is. Okay. All right. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 9. We're talking about honoring the Father. The Father in the home and the Father as our Heavenly Father. Okay. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of your people. And Father, we ask that you take this word and you implant it in our hearts. You said it's the implanted word that's able to save our souls. Father, we know that salvation is here, and we know that salvation has come through your word, and we know, Lord, that you are doing a work in our hearts, and we thank you for that. Now, Lord, let none of us remain the same because we have received your word, and we have been in your presence. We thank you for it, and we trust you forever in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. All right. Now, okay. Now, what he say happens when you withhold the tithe? You're under what? A curse, right? So, I don't want to be under a curse. How about you? But he says in verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions. What's that? That's your stuff, right? Take care of your stuff, right? You know, because God has given it to you and he's entrusted you with it, he wants you to take care of it. Okay? And then he says, and with the first fruits of all your increase. First fruits is the tenth, the tithe of all you bring in. Okay? That's for whose benefit? Whose? Yours. So when you begin to put this principle in place, it's going to benefit you. That's why you can't allow the media and other people and what they say about ministers and about what's going on to jade your opinion and your view of how finances are handled in the kingdom of God. You see how the enemy will work? He will get you to have a jaded view and get you to be suspicious about and about where the money's going. And then the idea is, who's now being affected by that? Right? Because you can't honor God and you can't honor, right? This principle. Remember when Jesus was in his hometown? Why couldn't any mighty works happen there? Because they couldn't honor him. When you can't put this principle of honor in place, then you are the one who suffers. Do you see that? Well, I really want you to see that. Because don't you see how the enemy will try to get you to get a distorted view of this? And then he'll keep you from prospering and going forward in this area of finances in your life. You see that? That's big. All right. So he says, so your barns will be what? Filled with plenty. What's your barns? Your cupboards, your gas tank, your wallet, your checkbook, right? That's what that means. So you're going to have plenty if you'll put this principle in place. All right. Now, he says in Malachi 3, you don't need to go there, I'm just doing a recap. Malachi 3, he says, when you withhold a tithe or an offering, you're under a curse. And remember that word curse is the word era, the Hebrew word era, and it means to execrate. And that's the opposite of consecrate. Consecrate means to set apart for God, to set aside for God. And that's what we're, our consecrated people, when we adhere and we obey the covenant of God. When we obey the covenant of God and we connect and we stand in the covenant of God, then we're consecrated people. We're set apart for God. But he says when you withhold this tithe, you're execrated. You see that? I tell you, that's big. Now think about this. This is what that word cursed also means. It means to call down evil upon. It means to lump together with everything. In other words, confusion. You'll always have confusion in this area of finances when you don't understand this principle of tithing. And then there's the word morai for the word cursed. And it means to abhor, to disregard, and it means, that's where we get the word mortician or mortuary, and it's the handling of dead things. So when you're not tithing, you're not really producing anything of life in the financial area of your life. This is big, all right? I'm not going to belabor that. You know, I'm turning it loose. Now it's up to you to obey it. This isn't a church that's going to beat people over the head with money. But I'm telling you, if you come here and we begin to talk about this, and you get a... You got some difficulties in your life. When you can embrace that, it says when you embrace honor, then honor will come to you. When you embrace it. Folks, it's important to embrace these principles. Folks, things are changing fast. Fast, right? The number one problem is in this area. We need to wake up in this area of our life. And when we put this principle in, who's going to benefit? We are, right? And so we can continue to move on and be be the church. Now watch this. Okay, now, we're talking about honoring the Father today, okay? And also we talked about honoring all people. Honor comes from your heart, right? Jesus said, the prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 29:13, he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That's religion, isn't it? That's religion. The number one reason why people, young people, teenagers don't come to church is hypocrisy, religion. They think people are fake and phony. Well, people pick that up. That's why true honor comes from your heart. And when you're treating, and when you can say all the right things to a person, and you can act real nice to that person, but if you're really not honoring them in your heart, you're dogging them in your heart, and you're thinking, "Well, I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait till they leave." Or, you know, "I wish they would just leave," but you're saying, yeah. That's, you see, they pick that up, right? That's why you want to be where people truly honor you and really love you. That's where you want to be. You pick that up, right? You pick it up where you're celebrated, where you're just tolerated. Hey, you could care if you want to be there or not. It doesn't matter, right? I want to be where I'm celebrated, not just tolerated. That's important. And that's this idea of honor. And see, if we can get everybody honoring each other and honoring God, man, we'll be a force to be reckoned with. Are you with me? Isn't this making sense? I'll tell you what, if we get a hold of this, it's going to change Sydney. You can't stop it. This thing on honor is major. So honor all people. You can't do that without a relationship with God, because it's coming from your heart. 1 Peter 2:17. Now, John and Steve and I, we went to a conference this past week, and, you know, church business, you know, the whole church as a whole, and, you know, it was a little, but it was all right. It was good. I'm just being honest with you. You know, you sit there and listen to all that all day, but we had a good time. We made fun. I had a good time, didn't we, John? Well, so we found this restaurant to go to. We went to this restaurant the first night, and this guy comes up to our table. You know, he has a little bit of a tude. You know, I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying you can pick up an attitude, right? Well, he had one. And are you having a good, every day's a good day, you know, that kind of thing. And so we're talking to him. We slowly get in there. We're putting this principle in action. And next thing you know, he's standing there talking to us and sharing. And you know, we leave and we come back the next day. Hey, we want Kevin. Kevin. His name's Kevin. We get him. And then we go back the third day. And he's just telling us where he's been traveling. We're talking about what we do. We're talking about all these things. And then we get to this. We know we're not going to see him anymore. So John and Steve and I, we talked. We said, we're going to bless him. We're going to fix him up. So we blessed him with a good tip. And then John wrote him a real nice note. You know, I didn't even read it because I just know how John is. Because he's done that with me before. He writes the waiter's notes. He gives him a good word, you know. And you know what? It has power on it. So we did that, and we go pay our bill. And we're starting to leave. The next thing I know, here's Kevin. Hey, he comes walking up. Hey, you guys, good luck in your ministry. You guys, you know, have a good day. You know, blah, just full of life. You know why? It's because we honored him. It wasn't just the money idea. It was the idea that we honored him and we took time to hear from him a little bit. Get to know you know what? I think if you can't tip the waiter, you need to stay home and cook up something in the kitchen. Really, I think a believer ought to be tithing more than the world. 10%, no. 15, no. Go 20. Go 25 sometime. Are you with me? Really, bless them, honor them. Am I making sense? Well, I can't. Don't say I can't afford it. Don't even let that come out of your mouth. That's not kingdom language, right? Am I making sense today? All right. So, honor all people. Mow your neighbor's grass. They go on vacation. Go over there and mow their grass. I got my neighbor. Is he here today? Well, I used to mow his grass. He'd go on vacation. He didn't tell me. I'd just go over and mow his grass. I don't even mow my own grass now. But now his boy mows my grass. But but you see what I'm saying? Just honor people. Folks, it's a way to live. Wherever we go, honor people. Folks, it does something. Who benefits? We do. Where's it coming from? You. See? If everything's going on, if everything's negative coming upon you, all that, man, you need to take a look at what you're doing. Am I right about it? Out of your heart comes the issues of your life, right? All right. Now, where are we at? Honoring the Father. I want to read this to you. I looked up this word, Father. And my son was in the service earlier, and he's a word nerd too. And I said it's the Greek meaning, but actually it is the Latin meaning for this word. And this word is rooted in Latin. The Father, the word Father is rooted in Latin. And he corrected me on that. And that's all right. I'm glad he did, because, you know, we kind of share, exchange things. So he fixed me up. So it's this word, Father, is the Latin. It's from Latin, and it's the word pater, P-A-T-E-R. And it's where we get the word pattern, pattern. So the Father establishes the what? The pattern. You see that? This is heavy. Listen to this. This is what it means. This is what Father means. Listen, men, fathers, listen. It means nourisher. It means protector. It means upholder. It means, now catch this, one who has infused his own spirit into others, who actuates and governs their minds. Did you get that? I'm going to read that again. One who has infused his own spirit into others, who actuates and governs their minds. I'm going to tell you something. The things my dad has said to me has had more impact on my life probably than anybody. Right or wrong. And until I renewed my mind, you see that? Until I renewed my mind to what God says, the Father, who infuses his spirit, you see that, and governs my mind. Are you with me? You see, that's why we can't use, no matter what our fathers did to us, as an excuse to continue on in a negative lifestyle. Are you with me? Doesn't that make sense? One who has infused his own spirit into others, who actuates and governs their minds. Fathers, doesn't that make you want to step it up? Huh? That's the kind of influence and the power that has been placed in your hands. And that's why we got to understand this idea of a father. Now think about this. I'm not done yet. One who stands in a father's place and looks after another in a paternal way. That's what a father is. That's what a father is. Actually, you're infusing things into those under you, your authority. And, I mean, it's having a life-changing effect on them. Men. All men say, I heard that. This is important. This is what's going on in America. The fathers will get their stuff together, you know. I remember reading a story about a father who wasn't doing a good job, and he kept blaming his wife, he kept blaming things on his family, and so he was always busy working all the time. And so he came home one day, and he came home, and his son wanted to play baseball. His son has his glove in his hand, and he says, come on, Dad, come on, pass baseball with me. He says, I don't have time right now. He had his Life magazine under his arm. He says, I just want to sit down and read my magazine for a few minutes. He goes, I'll play with you later. So his son keeps coming up. He's sitting in his chair relaxed. He says, come on, Dad, I want to play baseball. And so his dad rips a page out of the magazine, and it's a picture of the world. And he rips it up in all these pieces. He says, now, he goes, son, I want you to take this and go back and tape that page together. And he goes, when you're done, we'll go past baseball. And his son's like 6 years, 5 or 6, and he's thinking, well, he'll take him all night. We won't have to pass baseball. So his son goes back and starts taping. He comes back in a couple minutes. It's all, the world's all put together, everything in place, all perfect. And he looks at it. He says, son, how'd you do that so fast? He says, well, if you turn it over, when I put the man together, the world became straight. Did you get it? We're carrying some heavy weight, men, because you are the spiritual heads in the home. Spiritual heads. God has entrusted you spiritually. We're going to keep going. Now, Eli was a priest, okay? In 1 Samuel Chapter 2, you don't need to go there. I got a lot to share, so I'm going to keep moving. You can write it down and study it tonight. But I'm telling you, do that if you would. Eli was a priest. He had two sons, okay? He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. That's what their names were, okay? Eli was a gluttonous. He was a glutton. I mean, he was so fat. His neck was fat. He died because he was so fat. He just about ate himself to death. Huh. So, here he is, the priest of this big church. His two sons are leaders in the church. They're taking the offering and they're, you know, leading in the church. And also they're having sex with women in the church. And they're taking the best offering and giving it to pups, Eli. So Eli knows this is going on. He never confronts them because it's feeding his gluttonous behavior. You hear that? That's true. That's in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli was a glutton. And his son's sins were feeding his gluttonous behavior and eating habits. Now watch this. If Eli really was honoring God, he would have removed them from office and their leadership position. You see that? Knowing what they were doing, he would have removed them. Now, listen to this. This is 1 Samuel 2, 27 through 29. You can look at it later. Didn't I reveal myself to your ancestors when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt? I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all his relatives to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly garments as he served me. And I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you honor your sons more than me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people. Eli, his motives, if he would have preferred, he preferred the benefit of the best offerings taken rather than honoring God. God stated that Eli honored his sons more than him. We're talking about honoring the Father today, right? Honoring the Father. The Heavenly Father, and it also gets down into the Earthly Father. Are you with me? Now, let's go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 34. Let's look at that real quick. I'm going to try to keep this moving because I don't want to keep you here all day. Zeta's got something for me. So I gotta go check that out today. All right, you ready? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 34. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat a piece of bread. He's saying there that people are going to want to be priests because they're being taken care of and provided for. Are you with me? Now, because they didn't honor God, they didn't honor, what happened? They died. Are you with me? And Eli wasn't honoring God. He chose to honor them over God. He honored what he could see over what he couldn't see. And that's what happens. Now, let's take a look at Abraham. Abraham honored God. No one was more important to Abraham than Isaac. Isaac was his son out of the promise, and he was his number one. All right? He waited for his promised son for 25 years. He loved him more than anything or anyone, his son Isaac. Now, Abraham, remember, God told Abraham to go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice his son. Y'all remember the story? Okay. Well, they're on their way. And you know what the Bible says? In Genesis chapter 22, it says that Abraham arose early after that command from God. In other words, he says, I'm doing it. He got up early. And he got the knife. He got everything ready. He was taking his son up to sacrifice him. He's going up the mountain, probably sweating bullets, wondering, what am I going to do? So he gets to the top of the mountain, and he gets ready to sacrifice his son. And an angel says, wait, don't take your son. We know that you fear God. That's what it says, Genesis 22. We know that you fear God. What's fear mean? Honor and respect. That's what was being tested. We know that you honor and respect God. Listen. Now, there was a ram in the thicket, right? There was a ram in the thicket, and God provided the sacrifice. He didn't have to sacrifice his son. And that became Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That area on the mountain became Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Now, think about this. Provider, my provider. Provide, V-I-D-E. That word vide is where we get the word video. So God had a pro video on your life. Has a video on your life. Has a story on your life. When you obey and honor God, you end up in His story. I want to be in His story. When I'm dead and gone, I want people to say that He made His story. History. Are you with me? And that's going to come when we honor God and we obey God. Am I making sense? I don't want my kids to say anything, but hey, my dad was a believer. If they say my dad was a believer and walked in it, that's what I'm after. Are you with me today? You know, I don't care if it's a good preacher or a nice guy. I don't want no nice guy. I want to be a believer. How about you? Because, folks, that's where life is. Now, so we got Abraham. We talked about Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, his sons. And then we talked about Abraham and his son. See, we're talking about family. Now, watch this. We're going to look at Moses now, okay? Now, let me read this to you out of Genesis real quick about from Abraham. All true honor comes from the fear of the Lord. Because you have obeyed and honored me and have not withheld even your beloved son, I swear by my own self that I will bless you richly. I will multiply your descendants into countless millions like the stars of the sky. They will conquer their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. That's from the Amplified Bible. He says, they will conquer their enemies. Who? We're the descendants of Abraham. When we operate in the fear and respect of the Lord and honor of the Lord, we conquer our enemies. We defeat them. Are you with me? And that's what it takes, the church. We got to defeat these enemies when we're walking in the honor and respect of the Lord and honoring people and respecting people, folks. This is going to defeat our enemies. Because it's not based on how you treat me. It's not based on what you say about me. It's not based on any of that. You don't have to earn respect and honor, right? It comes from your heart because God commands it. Amen? And that's what we got to grow in our understanding of. Now let's look at Moses. In Exodus chapter 4, 24, it says that the Lord confronted Moses and sought to kill him. How many of you knew that? How many of you knew that the Lord sought to kill Moses? Zip, zero? You better read your Bible. Now, this is important. This is important. Moses is on the backside of the desert. God announced to him and has chosen him and has called him to be the deliverer of Israel, to deliver Israel from Egypt. Moses came down from the mountain and gathered his family around and began to tell them what he had heard. Remember, he had been to the burning bush, and the Bible says he came, and the glory of the Lord was on him, and his face was radiant. You've all seen the Ten Commandments, remember that? What was his name, Charles Heston? How do you say it? We got it, him. Well, his face was glowing, you know. He comes down, he's going to tell Zipporah, his wife, what he had heard from God. You know, and he says, I'm the deliverer. It's me. I'm the one to go deliver these folks. I'm the deliverer. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is coming now. You remember that song? You don't remember? Well, you will one day. You'll hear it. I play it on K-Love once in a while. Now listen. He's the deliverer. Now, think about this. He tells his wife, Zipporah, I'm the deliverer. I'm to go and to bring Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. His wife says, I'm with you. Let's go do this thing. It's you and me, babe. We're going to do it. I am with you. Let's go. That's what she said. That's a little paraphrase, but read it and you'll see what I'm saying. She was like, let's go, you know, and watch this. Now, Abraham, after she says that, Abraham says, on the mountain, God revealed to me the covenant of Abraham. That's the Abrahamic covenant, which is the Melchizedek order, which is why the tithe was established. Remember the Abrahamic covenant and the Melchizedek? That's all connected to the tithe. That's why tithing is a New Testament thing, and that's why it's a principle of the kingdom. We'll go there later, maybe later sometime. Talk to you later. All right. So now, on the mountain, okay, God revealed this covenant, and this is what he said. He said, I must circumcise our two sons. He's talking to Zipporah. He's talking to Zipporah. We got to circumcise our sons. And so he says, I'm going to do the oldest one first. So she says, okay, I'll watch. So he goes and gets a flint knife.
Yo!
A flint knife. An old rock with a sharp edge. Oh. My son was in the last service, and I said, I remember when you were circumcised. He's all, you got down to see a little bit. But I do. And I remember going in to see him, you know, it was like the first or second day. His little lips were blue, and he's been screaming. I mean, all your nerve endings go right there. You know, I mean, that's painful. I mean, this is pain. I'm glad they did that to me when I was one day old. Are you with me today? You remember when Joshua and those 300 and some were laying on the hillside when they went into the promised land? They weren't waiting on the Lord. Joshua just circumcised them. They were in pain. Yeah, that's the truth. Listen. So she watches her, Moses circumcise Gershom. So here's the next son coming up. Well, now let's get Eliezer. We're going to do the young one. She says, not in my life you're not going to circumcise Eliezer. You're not circumcising him. He ain't going to go through what Gershom went through. That's child abuse. She said, no way. You're not doing that. And they argued, the Bible says. They argued and they fought. She stopped cooking. She stopped giving him love. Cut him off. We might as well be real about it, right? I'm here to tell you. And nothing but strife and conflict in their crib, in their house. Your crib. I heard that a long time ago. I think that's a funny word, crib, for a house. Look, I had a friend of mine. I'll tell you that later. But here they are, arguing, fight. You know what? Moses says, I'm tired of this. I've got a call in my life. I'm going to deliver Israel from Egypt. He says, I'm going, we're going. So they go. Listen to this. Now, Moses honored his wife's request over what God had told him. Okay? Now, because he honored his wife over honoring God, in other words, he didn't go on with the circumcision with Eliezer, okay? He had failed to circumcise, Exodus 4, 25 and 26. He had failed to circumcise one of his sons, his wife being opposed to it, but seeing his life was in danger. That's why the Bible says God sought to kill Moses. Because he honored his wife over honoring him. Now, but seeing his life in danger, Zipporah, his wife, took a flint knife and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it to touch Moses' feet and said, surely a husband of blood you are to me. In other words, the fear of God came on Zipporah because she saw that her husband's life was in danger. So she circumcised Eliezer. You see that? She went ahead and did it. Now, what happened there was, we should never compromise truth to please those who are entrusted under our authority. Remember, the man is the leader and the spiritual authority of the home. What happens is, Moses was acting like a peacekeeper and not a peacemaker. You see, Moses became a peacekeeper because he didn't want to put up with the strife and things. Because, you know, he probably wanted some love and he wanted things to get back right in the bedroom. And you hear that, men? Now, God wants you to be a peacemaker. A peacekeeper, it's a selfish thing. It's self-motivated. Now think about this. When you're a peacekeeper, your interests are only on you. Self-interest is motivated by peacekeepers. They don't want to make life uncomfortable for themselves, or they like the benefit they're receiving from those they should confront. All men say, I hear this. You see, true peace. Jesus didn't come to make us peacekeepers. He came to make us peacemakers. True peace is in the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? It's in you. He didn't come to bring peace on earth. He came to bring peace in you, in the kingdom. Romans 14, 17 says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And in Matthew Matthew chapter 11, it says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God at times requires confrontation. You see this? Confrontation. And we have to do that in order to have true peace within your heart and your soul, really, truly resting. You're going to have to be confronted. Remember I told you I had a fear of rejection, and I have a hard time confronting? So don't be bringing those stuff up to me now. But when you have that, you become a peacekeeper. I've done that, and I know a lot of you. And you know what? We're going to be tested in this area. What happens is we start to honor the one we see above the one we don't see. And that's what we gotta grow in and develop in. Now look at this. Go with me to Matthew 10, 34 and 37. And we're about to close here. Did you all hear that about peacekeepers and peacemakers? In Matthew 5, 9, it says that blessed are the peacemakers. So we want to be a peacemaker. That's the one who's putting God's principles first, and it truly brings peace within your heart. Now, where's honor come from? Your heart. Where's the kingdom of God? Your heart. Honor and authority are in you, right? And that's where the kingdom is. That's where we want him ruling in us. Now watch this. Verse 34. Do not think, Matthew 10, 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Verse 37. I can hear this. He who loves, or we can say it like this, he who loves or honors father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves or honors son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You see that? At times, we're going to be challenged with putting our children first, putting others first in our family above God. And that's as men, we gotta take our position, and through our relationship with God, honoring God, it's gonna come out in the rest of our life. Am I making sense? Men? See, that's why it's so important for us to understand this principle of honor. Okay. Now, you got my song ready? We're gonna do this last song, and I got a closing word. Okay? So hold up.